T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 10:05 on The Fan, and a very good Wednesday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Of course, we hit the 1 o'clock CMB. We'll come your way. Don Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. I'm watching the highlights right now, this Warrior bludgeoning of the Nuggets last night.
Let me tell you something. I know nobody cares, so we could do this really quickly if you want. Is there a contender in the West that can knock this team off this year? Because the answer is no.
No.
Who is the number one contender to knock them off? Because the Denver Nuggets have had a great season. Nikola Jokic is having an MVP season. Guy's fantastic, all right? You know what the Warriors did last night? They sent out a reminder. They sent out this little reminder that said, oh, that's adorable, Denver. You're the number one seed. Oh, that's cute. Now we're just going to rain threes all over your ass.
Aren't they back in first now? Aren't
they are.
Yeah, right.
They leapfrog them.
Right, right.
Now, I know the Rockets are banged up. They have nobody. Capella's out for 6 weeks. I get it. Chris Paul's been banged up. Eric Bledsoe, they're banged up. I understand all that. All right, not Eric Bledsoe, Eric Gordon. My apologies. But there just isn't a team in the Western Conference that I think could even really put up a significant fight in the Western Conference Finals. So, yet again, it is the Golden State Warrior Invitational.
Yeah.
And that's really the way the AFC has felt for the last decade. It's been the New England Patriot Invitational.
It is. It is.
And I don't know if I'm just trying to talk myself into it, but I am as optimistic about a team knocking off the Patriots as I've been in a very long time, because this Kansas City team feels different. Number one, it's in their building, right? Which is very different than...
Well, it's never been, so it's a first. It's a first.
Well, most of the time over the last bunch of years, the Patriots have played this AFC Championship game at Gillette Stadium.
Right. Right.
They've had a handful on the road in Denver, and they've lost those games.
Yeah.
So I think the location of this game...
They did win their first two, well, not the first two, but 01 and 04 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was a decade and a half ago.
That's a long time ago.
Very long time ago. But you're right. Since then, they have not had this great road success. They haven't played a lot of games on the road, but they haven't had a great road success. And number two, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill has been a guy over the last few meetings that they've had with Kansas City, regular season, in which they have been unable to stop him. And I wonder... if we are really going to get an 8-degree day.
That's what I'm hearing. Like, and even less than that by the time they kick off.
Especially when you factor
it's
in.
It's going to be a night game.
Yeah. The windshield factor.
Yeah, sure.
And you're talking 5, 10 below. Who knows? Maybe that will actually slow down a guy like Tyreek Hill if things are very fast on that field. But if you look at the last couple of times they've tried to slow him down, they haven't. And the Chief offense has put up 40 against the Patriots in their last two meetings against them.
I can't see this game being a 43-40 game again. It's going to be a lower scoring game than that. I think this game's going to be in the 20s. I really do. Either way it goes. I just don't think it's going to be that kind of game.
Because of the conditions?
Conditions. I just think now it's a, you know, you're a little more defensive-minded now. You're getting into a championship game situation. I just don't see it's going to be that kind of crazy shootout thing. I don't see it.
Well, look, a game in September and a game in October, and those are the last two times these teams have played each other. It's very different than a game in January.
Yeah,
you are right about that.
Yeah.
But we have seen this Chief offense and what they're capable of doing against this Patriot defense. And the first time wasn't with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. That was when Alex Smith had a huge game against New England on that season-opening Thursday night game that was at Gillette Stadium. Both those games were at Gillette Stadium.
Yep.
We're talking about
times
in which the Chiefs put up 42-40, one in a win, one in a loss.
Weren't playoff games,
though. They weren't playoff games, which is huge.
Of course.
It was significantly warmer. We're talking about September and October as compared to January, and the game was in Foxborough. And here's the other factor. And I know over the last few weeks, He hasn't been one because Damian Williams has done such a great job. But Kareem Hunt, in both of those games, had a lot of success against the Patriots, especially catching the football out of the backfield.
Right,
and
right.
as good as Damian Williams has been, he's not quite as good as Kareem Hunt. So that's a big negative against the Chief offense as they try to put up points against this team.
Well, I want to see how it's going to play out as far as what Belichick's going to do defensively to try to slow down their offense. I mean, you know, he's going to – my guess is he's going to try to take Travis Kelce out of the game. That's the guy, even more than Tyreek Hill, I think that he would focus on. Now, I don't know, but I would think that would be the guy he tries to, you know, eliminate from their offense.
But you know what? In the past, maybe he's done that because Travis Kelce's been a lot quieter against New England than Tyreek Hill has. Remember, in that game they played a few months ago now, Tyreek Hill got in the end zone three times, and Kelce had one of his more pedestrian kind of games.
Well,
which is rare from him because he had an all-world year, and I think he's clearly become...
He's the best tight end in football now.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is probably number two.
He's up there, too.
At this point. So it wasn't Kelce who was killing him. It was Tyreek Hill, who had three touchdowns in that game and caught 140, 150 yards. Kelce was not the guy that was burning them a few months ago.
Yeah, I just don't see this going to be an offensive explosion game. I just don't. I think it's going to be a much lower scoring game in the 20s, maybe 24-21, maybe something like that. Be interesting to see how Patrick Mahomes reacts to the kind of weather it's going to be. I don't know if he's ever played in it, whether it's going to be as cold as that.
Who has?
Well, I mean, I tell you this too, and maybe I'm nuts with saying this, but the older you get, the tougher it is to deal with cold weather. You wonder if a 42-year-old Brady has a tough time if it's really that cold. You wonder about that.
It's funny because I think our natural reaction is to say, well, Tom Brady has a lot of experience in these horrible, horrible conditions, and he does. When you really think about it, and you think back to the last 4 years, 5 years, and then you expand further, most of those bad weather games was at the beginning of his career. When you think of those games in the
snow. The snow game against the Raiders.
But
you know,
look back at the last few postseason games and check out the weather. You're looking at more 45-degree days than you are anything close to what we're seeing in Kansas City. So, if anything, I'm just saying you may be right about that. You know, with age, you react differently in the cold weather. And B, he hasn't had that many cold weather games over the last few years. Most of that was much earlier in his career.
I wonder what the coldest game he played in was. Because even that snow game probably wasn't that cold. It probably was, you know, maybe in the high 20s in that area.
Well, but if we're looking at a game in which the actual temperature is 8 degrees, right? And the windshield is 20 below.
Would be below zero.
How many games in the annals of NFL history, you got the freezer bowl with the Cincinnati Bengals many years ago.
And of course, the ice ball with the Packers and the Cowboys back in 67.
Sure, and even the Giant Packer game, the Tom Coughlin Red game. Red Cheeks game.
Yep.
But there aren't a lot.
Yeah. So not that cold.
Not that cold. So to your point, how many guys have played in weather like this when there haven't been that many in NFL history?
Yeah. And the other thing to me is that I think an absolute key to this game is that they got to get to Brady. They got to hit him. I mean,
tough to do, man.
But I think that's an absolute thing you have to do. I don't know how you do it, but I think you do. Look, they hit Andrew Luck last week. That was, to me, the biggest key to the game is how Kansas City's defense played against Andrew Luck and their tremendous offensive line. They knocked a ton of passes down. They hit him consistently. This is what you're going to have to do to Brady. Of course, it's not easy to do, but, you know, you got to find a way to get to him.
Well,
the Chargers didn't touch him last week.
No, not at all. Hey, one thing about the Chief defense, because they've taken a lot of flack this year, and they deserve a lot of flack this year. They gave up a lot of points.
Right.
The one thing they do well is they get to the quarterback.
They do that.
I mean, they're one of only two teams in the league that have two guys, at least two, and almost three, who had double-digit sacks. Dee Ford got to the quarterback 13 times. Chris Jones got there. And you mentioned Justin Houston, who missed a bunch of games.
Right.
If he actually played all 16,
right,
he would have had 13, 14 sacks. I thought he was a big difference in the Indianapolis game as well.
Yep.
So the pass rush is the best part of this Chief defense. I actually thought last week, along with the fact they got to the quarterback, which you're right about, I thought their corners actually played pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were putting so much pressure on him. And I also wonder how healthy T.Y. Hilton was. Not really healthy in that game.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he really wasn't. I mean, you could see that he just wasn't himself. He caught a couple passes, but he wasn't 100%. Ebron did nothing. No, I look, they played great. The defense was great. I mean, to me, the defense was the story of their game when you look at it.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I think that's going to be one of the big differences. They're not going to stop, I don't think at least, Tom Brady and that Patriot offense four times in a row to start the game with three and outs. I just don't see it happening.
No,
this is a much better offense.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't care what the weather is, and they can run the football as we saw last week with Sony Michel and James White catching five-yard dunkers from Tom Brady.
Really what their offense is now.
Yeah.
Is exactly that. You know, the short, you know, the 5-yard play, the 10-yard play, you know, they don't really throw the ball down the field that much.
No.
They really don't.
And
even Gronkowski's not that much of a factor anymore.
You know, it's funny with Gronk. Gronk was a very small factor, you're right, in catching the football, but he did a lot of other things in this game. You know, he did lay out a few blocks.
No,
like,
yeah,
he was active in this game, but as far as that big game receiver, he's just not that guy anymore.
Nope.
But that's a part of why it's so difficult to get to Tom Brady. He's getting rid of the football so quickly.
Yep,
he's dumping it off to James White, you know, 15 times in a game. I just hope, you know, it's bad enough when the Patriots win a championship and they have to do this whole Canyon of Heroes. And we just saw the Red Sox do it not the Canyon of Heroes, their version of the Canyon of Heroes a few months ago. But what's really frustrating is that when we get to a Super Bowl, we got 2 weeks of buildup to a game. And usually after a few days, it's like, all right, let's just play the stupid game. When it's the Patriots involved and they're there for 2 weeks, even if they lose like last year, we still have to deal with 2 weeks of Belichick and Brady and the same story.
Same old, same old.
And how many years in a row do we all have to deal with this?
Well,
let's go Chiefs.
Oh, God.
Badly.
There's no question. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. You know, I just thought about it. This makes me nuts, too. You can say whatever you want about it. It's kind of a throwaway stat. But if the Patriots win this game, they will go to their third consecutive Super Bowl. The only other two teams to do that were the Dolphins, 71-73, and the Bills, 90-93. The other three teams in the division would all have gone to three straight Super Bowls. Now, is that a big deal? Nah, I mean, you know.
It's just adding
up. It just bothers me.
Yeah.
I know the Bills didn't win any, but it just bothers me that everybody else in our division would be there, would be that answer.
I understand. It's just also frustrating that this part of the Patriot dynasty, which is supposed to be the end, the quarterback is old.
Right.
There's not that much talent around them, all the flaws,
right,
and yet they will accomplish something as impressive as that.
Well,
getting to three straight Super Bowls.
Again, it comes down to coaching. I mean, look, we've seen it with Belichick forever. We understand the greatness of Brady. But these guys, I mean, his defense, I mean, how many guys, outside of the hardcore NFL fan, how many guys you really know on his defense? There's no, you know, even there's not even like the Richard Seymours, the Teddy Bruschis, and the Mike Vrabels on the defense anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, you got Devin McCourty. Okay, we know who he
is. Patrick Chung.
Right, he's been there a long time.
He has.
Van Noy, you know, Flowers. There's not a lot. There's no like real household names on that defense. Yet here they are, you know, and look how they shut the Chargers down last week. To me, the coach is so head and shoulders above everybody else. It's unreal.
And that's
really is.
That's one big factor we should bring up, especially if this is a close game late. Andy Reid, who as great as he's been, has faltered in the big moment, faltered down the stretch of close games. And then, of course, maybe the greatest coach in the history of the sport, Bill Belichick.
I don't see how he's not. I don't see how it's not him.
Well, look,
it's hard to say it's not him.
I'm going to repeat something I say every January. It's annoying, but it's true. These two guys, these two SOBs, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, are the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more they can do that's going to change the mind of those who don't believe it. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't believe they're the greatest, then you're never going to believe they're the greatest. So what the heck's the difference?
Well, I said this before. I've seen, like I told you, I've been watching this stuff since 1960, 61. I've seen all the dynasties, you know, every one of them, the Packers, the Steelers. You know, like I said, if you want to throw the Dolphins in there, it went to three in a row, the undefeated team, the Niners in the 80s, you know, Cowboys in the 90s. There's nothing compared to this. For sustained excellence in the free agent era, let's throw that in, too. That makes it even more impressive. It's not like he's had the same team together, you know, for all these years or, you know, for, let's say, the first 8 years he had the same team, and then for the next 8 years he had the same. No. I mean, it's mind-boggling what this guy's been able to do.
Incredible accomplishments.
No doubt.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.